It's the catechin. The year was 2009. Barack Obama was sworn in as the 44th president of the United States. Michael Jackson's This Is It tour never happened. The Black Eyed Peas dominated the charts with Boom Boom Pow. And everyone thought Avatar CGI would change cinema forever. Tiger Woods' golf game wasn't the only thing making the headlines. Charlie Sheen was still winning. America was still recovering after the recession. And everyone was obsessed with Farmville on Facebook. 2009 was also the last time Mississippi State beat Kentucky in a regular season game. Kentucky wins 95-90. Fellas, how we feeling?
Great. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of the guys, and Jackson in particular, you know, with that performance. They weathered three or four runs by Mississippi State. Just a huge win, man. Like, a really tough place to be in where they could have dropped two straight, but couldn't be more proud of the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it feels like we have figured out playing offense in the SEC, which is a good feeling. I think that you could tell that they tried to make it a three-point contest every once in a while and then would just kind of get outgunned. So we got to really control the pace, and that was good. Also, the whistle was a lot more balanced this game.
First true away win is great. Always fun to see the guys score near 100. Just wish we could hold the other team to not scoring also near 100. But happy to come away with the win.
Yeah, you could tell with the way that the whistle went in the game that with us reading the headlines of Pope and the staff reaching out to the SEC about the officiating and stuff like that, you could see immediate returns on that investment. And yeah, super happy for Jackson and to see this team play to that level and still able to get the win with getting not as much from people like Kobe Brea as you might think. So also, guys, I have clips of us kind of calling our shot in the in previous episodes if you want to see a few.
Sure.
Yes.
Not to be an old horn tutor over here, but, you know. So we were talking on the last episode where I was saying I was a bit more concerned than the rest of you guys about this Georgia game. For some reason, I'm feeling less worried about Mississippi State just on the sheer fact of, does this team lose two in a row? Look at that. Brayden, you got one. You got one.
Okay.
Oh, hey, guys, it's me, Brayden. Just wanted to chime in with my thoughts on Gaza. So if you actually look at it...
That was the wrong one. I'm sorry. It's actually Caleb.
Give me Jackson Robinson.
Yeah, 7. I'm going to take 0. A win.
Look at that. Oh, there's a Ben one, too.
Hey, it's me, your buddy Ben. If you want my honest thoughts on Dr. Anthony Fauci, I truly believe that...
Oh, goodness gracious. That wasn't the right one. Good win, though.
Unbelievable.
Dude, I totally remember saying that.
It sounds just like us. Accurate on all. Good call on you guys. Me and Ben missed the boat there, but you guys nailed it.
Did you guys want to expand on any of the thoughts that you guys...
Nope. I don't even know that I have thoughts on that. Yeah, no, I don't. I'm. That was even too smart. Making fun of me was too smart. There you go. But for real though, on a very a much more real note, that the best part about that win is, yeah, Jackson went nuclear with those. I think he had 7 threes. Is that right? He ended up with 7 threes. But mm-hmm. The part that was most impressive is Jackson did a lot of that, and we built that lead, and then we lost that lead and had to battle back. And like, that was that kind of after Jackson had done a lot of the lifting to get us to that point, but we didn't bring it home based off that. We had to really weather that storm and make another comeback in a crazy environment, man. Like it was loud. It was intense. When they took the lead back, I was impressed by that crowd. So like the fact that they weathered that storm and pulled that off, even after, you know, Jackson got him there and then they were able to, there's a lot of guys that contributed. Anthony Almanor, I wanted to shout out to, yeah, I thought he played phenomenal. Gave us a huge lift, but yeah, that's what I have opinions on, but I'm sure I'll be told what my opinions are on some other stuff in another throwback clip. But
I was sort of worried a little bit at halftime because we were only up by 5 despite shooting, we were 8 for 17 from 3. So it's like, you know, we're playing the game we want to play on the road and we're still only up by 5. But, I mean, we maintained that. We shot well again in the second half. I think we ended up 50% on the game, which is huge on the kind of volume that we want to have. And so that's nice. Also, great to see Jackson play well. I thought Ansley played pretty well, too. I know he hasn't quite been. He started the season out shooting pretty well, I thought, then sort of has been trending down. But nice to see him shoot 50% on decent volume, too.
Yeah. They were committed shots. I think that is the thing.
Yeah.
Is for the past few games, it's been, should I take this shot? For a lot of the guys, and that has been probably coached out of them, I would imagine, over the past week.
I like that it seems that they're playing with a new energy, that they're actually. So okay, so this might seem like complaining, but it's a thought that I've had the past couple of games that slipped my mind to express here. So a lot of these times with rebounds, we'll be in position, and we go up to get a rebound with one hand. And that drives me bananas, because that's grade school stuff, that you go up with two hands to get a rebound. And so many times we've let rebounds just bounce off our hands and go back to the other team for them to get a second look. So when it's things like that, like, that's fixable. So you can go back and just drill into the guys like, hey, go for two hands with the rebounds. They started doing that in the second half. But I like the energy. Now, I'd like for us to just put two hands on the ball when getting a rebound. That probably makes this game a lot less close if we're not giving them second and third chances.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's shying away from physicality. Yeah. I think that shying away from physicality is probably it's like why they're doing the one hand thing. They're trying to get there without getting their whole body into it. But I think Amari, I can look actually. Amari had 12 rebounds. Yeah. He had a good physical game this game, which is nice. That's all, we have to have that through this league. And I think that we're seeing it. And then he didn't foul. You know, he didn't get in foul trouble. So he's defended well enough and then rebounded very well and still didn't, you know, end up sitting on the bench for 25 minutes.
And he played 30 minutes. That's huge. That's I think, well above his average.
I think the five spot is the X factor on the team, because if we're getting good looks inside or we're able to score around the basket with these post possessions, that's going to open up so much more for the way that our offense works. And if we're actually able to play good post defense, or maybe, you know, block a few more shots, then I think this team can reach a new level. It's just, you got to get something, not even something, just get more from Garrison or Williams.
I think you're dead on. We have one of our guards always play pretty well, it seems like, right? Whether it be Lamont or Jackson stepping up or Ortega. Now, speaking of Ortega, I thought he played a lot more in control. He's had kind of a couple, poor volume shooting games where he's gone, 3 for 13 or whatever. He didn't really look for the three as much yesterday. He just kind of looked for a good shot. And I felt like that was a huge thing, because he didn't have, 10 missed shots. He played really well and in control. But, seeing, like you say, Amari play that way, be physical. They did seem to come out with a whole different, even in the early going when they got a couple fouls on us, and it seemed like we weren't being, we were getting kind of, bullied a little bit. It was different, though. Yeah, they got a couple offensive boards in the beginning, but it didn't feel like we were getting pushed out of the way with no fight. Like, we lost a couple fights early on, but they definitely came and brought it a little bit more than they had in the past.
Yeah, Owe, yeah, his shots at the rim looked really good in this game, but then also defensively was the best player, I think, by far. I think, I don't know if it's what it is about his defense, but he played really well. I think he led in steals. Yep, he led in steals and had the highest plus minus because he was disruptive on the defensive side. Now, we have to find this balance. Offensively, I feel like we've found our game back. It took a little bit to start playing to our offensive mindset in these physical games, but I think they've already got it figured out. Now, defensively, it's like, they don't know. They don't want to take the chances to try to force a turnover or be disruptive because they're afraid they're going to get called for fouls. And it's like finding this balance. And once they do, I think we'll be able to hold the team under 70 points. It's just, luckily, we have such a good offense that we are still winning these games.
On the offensive side, I'd like to see more in transition. I feel like at the beginning of the season, we were real quick in the shot clock, pushing the ball a ton. And maybe some of this is Kirby-ing out too. But I feel like as the season has gone on, we've had more late shot clock situations, fewer opportunities to really score before the defense gets set. And it's nice that we can score 95 without a ton of those. But man, it was fun to watch when we were playing like that. And also, I think it sort of frees the offense up a little bit. You know, sometimes Brea will hit a three while heavily defended, double teamed, even just dribbling around everybody, when it'd be so much easier if we just catch him wide open on the corner in transition.
I think part of the reason we weren't able to yesterday is they only had 6 turnovers. The fact that we could score 95 with like a really not great fast break game yesterday, and they only turned over 6 times. I don't even know how many of those were live ball turnovers. To score 95 is absolutely ludicrous. Like, I mean, we throw a fast break game in there, it's going to be, or maybe what, LMU, UNLV in the 90s.
We had 13 turnovers,
which isn't horrible. I mean, it's a little high, but to 6, it's you know, not great, but yeah,
still a good win.
21 assists
on 34 buckets. Eight. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good win. I think when we did start to try to like burn the clock, I don't know, the last like 2 minutes of that game went so much faster than I was expecting it to go. I don't know what they were thinking exactly, if they were just going to try to shoot their way to making it a game or what, but it was like in the last 33 seconds, I think the clock just ran all the way until like 6 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
They made up the St. John's game.
I had the Alabama A&M game up at the same time, and at one point, there was 3 minutes left in our game and 2 minutes left in that game. And then our game ended and there was a minute and 45 seconds left in that game still that took another 20 minutes to play out. It's just, you're right, the time just bled at the end. And I don't know if it was that just them getting Hubbard back in, feeling like they can play him with his 4 fouls and maybe he'd make something happen. Because that seemed like what they were trying to do there. But yeah, happy it ended the way it did.
Yeah. Josh Hubbard, who's normally good, 3 for 11 from 3, so not his best game. But that's Otega and Lamont on him probably. So.
Yeah, and Jackson too. Jackson's very live. Yes.
As far as defenders go, you mentioned Otega being the best defender, and I'm not going to disagree with you. But did you see Lamont guard 1 through 4 on 4 different ball screens at the end of that?
Yeah.
Like, he had one of the best defensive possessions I've ever seen on a basketball court. So at the very least, yeah. I got to mention that, because Lamont was out of – that guy fights around screens and through like man-to-man defense. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone play it better at the college level than that kid. It's unbelievable. One of my favorite things.
He's getting half-court steals. Half-court steals from Lamont. That's insane.
Getting ripped at the half-court line. That's
three.
Like
– His halftime buzzer three was so good, because it was like they just made like a 4-point play and brought the game back in going into the half, and then he just like murdered that momentum right – it was beautiful. And that was at, you know, transition three. We can still hit those. I mean, you got Garrison hitting those threes now. So it's like, maybe we do take, but I don't know. I still feel like we controlled the pace so well, you know. We played our game, which is, I think we win when that happens. So.
As we predicted, BG and Travis Perry both hitting the big three, you know, as we expected, 1 for 1 each. So big shots. That Sharp Perry shooter. Sequence was amazing, honestly. He came in and looked fearless and then got 3 fouls really quickly. But that was it was great to see, though. I got to give him his props. He looked good.
One of the worst calls of the night go against him, because he clearly got hooked in the post. And
yeah.
He got thrown terrible. Back, and then they were like, foul on Perry. Insane.
I saw that picture.
That one,
yeah.
And the 6-point swing where I think they hit a three. And then they on a rebound, they called a foul on Jackson for pushing someone down, which was a complete fantasy
call.
Who
just tripped.
And then they hit a three from the possession that got back. So 6-point swing, which I think they might have shot themselves in the foot there, because that 6-point swing really seemed artificial in their momentum. so they didn't really press the issue after that, even though it was a close game, but they weren't playing better at that point.
One thing I just saw on the season, BG and Travis Perry are both 4-for-11 from three. Same volume. And obviously their minutes played aren't the same. And I'd feel much more confident with TP shooting that. But it's crazy that they had the same percentage on the same number of shots.
Data suggests that you know, maybe you're picking Travis for other reasons because it's exactly the same. That's interesting.
I'd love for that to become a part of BG's game this season and next season.
Kobe Bryant better watch his ass.
He better. Mm-hmm.
just replace him.
Brandon Garrison, because when he runs the offense, it feels like maybe not as smooth, not as good of passing as Amari right now. He's got some growing to do that way. But him having taken some threes, because that's such a big deal in the momentum of the game when the whole team goes nuts because your big man just splashed a three. And then it also makes the defense behave differently than when you have BG at the top of the key or rather than Amari.
Right.
So I think it is something that as he gets more comfortable, and he's grown a lot this year already. But him taking those shots, and he doesn't ever hesitate to take them either. It's not like there's a lot of big man threes where it's like, should I take it? Should I take it? And then they just do it.
And it's awful.
He just takes it. Yeah. And he just takes it. Which even if he's only hitting 28% or whatever from three for his career, that's still, you're still positive on the offensive efficiency with those possessions and makes the defense behave differently.
Yeah, I feel
he's
like
actually
he picked the spot
36%.
Well. Yes. He's 36?
I like the...
All this year, though. He didn't take any last year, but 4-for-11. I'll take it.
Yeah. I like the times that he chooses to shoot it, too, because it's never in, like, a spot where it's like, we really, really need one, where you'd really like a high-efficiency shot. But he'll take these, and when they go in, it's awesome. Like, it's a huge momentum boost. But if he misses them, it never feels like it's in the spot of the game where we're feeling particularly pressed.
And he's usually alone, so there's a higher chance of getting the rebound. It's like, okay, I'm going to start the offense, but they aren't respecting me as a shooter. So I'm going to take the shot because I'm out here all alone. And next time, they won't do that. Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see the contributions from, you know, dudes that, especially in these once we got into this tougher stretch, where they maybe struggled a little bit, they're getting more comfortable now, not just the starting lineup.
Right.
So yeah, we beat Duke in Atlanta, and we've seen growth since then. It's a very fun season. Thank you, Mark Pope.
That's the other thing, too. Like, I know, like, you can get a little frustrating when they don't play well and stuff, but, like, man, like, being a fan of the team, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. I know Big Blue Nation's a big fan base and stuff, but, like, it does seem like they just have no faith, man. The second something goes wrong, it seems like we want to just all band together and tear them down. This team's special, man. It's going to go by quickly. Enjoy it, because, I mean, Mississippi State hadn't lost at home. They had lost one game all year in a neutral site. That's a huge win on the road. Everybody in the SEC is going to struggle on the road. I don't care who you are. Regardless absolutely. Of the injury, Auburn damn near lost at South Carolina yesterday. Tennessee almost lost at Texas. Like, winning on the road, especially against the ranked, I mean, that's huge. That's a huge win. It's probably the biggest win of the year when you think about what it actually means for the rest of the way going forward. Like, that's a tough – you lose back-to-back there, no one's going to blame you because it's on the road at a ranked team. But to get that one after the Georgia loss, massive, dude. Like, what if, you know, could be by 5, could be by 50, doesn't really matter to me. Get the wins on the road as you can, or in the SEC, period. Just win. Don't really care how it happens.
I will say this. Yesterday during the game, wore one of my Catkin shirts, and I noticed we're undefeated when I'm watching the game wearing a Catkin shirt. So Our merch might be good luck, fellas.
Yeah.
Check the link in the description. Hey, look at that.
I need to do some modifications on those too. I got a little happy with my editing software and made a bunch of different types of shirts. So get my can, because I'm gonna probably make it more selective than having like
limited edition. Yeah. Let's go.
Ooh. Got collector's items.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Any thoughts going into Texas A&M? Texas A&M coming off a loss to Alabama. They're going to want their lick back.
Hate that term. But go ahead, Beck.
I was going to say, I think that Texas A&M is a great offensive rebounding team. I think that I know that's a place that we've sort of struggled this year, giving up those offensive rebounds, which lead to second chance points. We've been better there recently, so hopefully we can keep that up. I know that's a huge part of Buzz Williams's game plan. Also, I saw that Wade Taylor, I think, is still going to be out. It seems like Buzz gave no timeline for his return, but he'll have to eventually as part of the injury reporting that the SEC does now. So totally different game, I think, whether he's in or not. Obviously, they played Alabama close without him, so it's not like it's a gimme with him sitting out, but I think that certainly it helps if he doesn't play.
Man, they have some good wins looking at their they have a weird loss to UCF to start the year and then Alabama, but they beat Texas, Oklahoma, Creighton, Ohio State. That's the only common opponent, but yeah, they got some good wins.
Purdue, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech was the one, yeah, okay, there you go. Those two were right down the line. Yeah, this might be a good thing. This is a good one to have in rough the first go-around against these guys if we play them twice.
I'll say against Alabama last night, Alabama kept breaking away up 10, up 15, but A&M kept fighting back. So I think it's a dangerous team, but I think almost any team in the SEC is going to be a dangerous team at this point. It's a stacked league, like we've said over and over again, and that's a lot of fun, but it does make every one of these games a chance for a loss.
We need to protect home court, though. Next week is a big – so as far as how the SEC standings will end up, the next 2 weeks are incredibly important, because it's like at Vanderbilt, it's like we can get another road win. At Tennessee, it's going to be like college game day style game. But next week we play two good teams in Rupp. If we want to be have a high seed in the SEC tournament, then it's going to come down to, I think, the next 2 weeks, whether or not we can kind of pull into the different tiers. Protecting home court is important. But luckily these two games at Rupp are games where our dudes are going to get up. You know, it's like Florida, right? It's like if Vanderbilt was to come in, I could see us sleepwalk a little bit. But these are big games, and we seem to be getting up for big games.
Should be a pretty good crowd too. You know, Rupp hasn't gotten too many ranked games in there in recent years, and we're a bit spoiled this year, especially in conference play. It's wild to have a stacked lineup this year at Rupp for home games.
Rupp was awesome during the Florida game. I thought I was really impressed with how it seemed like the whole place was rocking.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be crazy for the Alabama game. Now, A&M, I think, is on Tuesday, so it's – I don't know.
I mean, it should be.
I feel like that game is important. I mean, all these games are important, conference play, whatever, but as far as momentum for the rest of the SEC gauntlet that we have to go through, this next at home, we're going to be able to hopefully execute better defensively and then keep our offense momentum going. Then people start talking differently about this team. Now, Field of 68 was fun to watch last night. Our favorite guy was going to bat for Kentucky being a title contender, which was – I just feel like next week we go 2-0, everybody's talking about us like that.
I mean, it's not like we beat like three, you know, like Florida at five, Duke at two,
yeah, no.
Gonzaga. But whatever, you know, the next one they'll start talking about.
Not like
the next one they'll believe. The next one they'll believe. That's
keep sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly a good position to be in.
It is. I think the A&M game's huge because Alabama, that's one of those ones against the top, you know, two or three teams in the league. I feel like it's going to be, whether it's home or away, it's going to be tough to get wins in those games for either side. They're going to be wars. You got to get the A&M win and then show down with Bama. Because if you can sweep this week, the 14th and the 18th, like you say, that's going to be, you're looking at the top five, top three ranking at that point, aren't you? I mean, if you win, I mean, that really sets you up to put you in, I mean, we all want to get a one seed, right? And have that path to the Final Four B is
I'll take a one seed.
Yeah. I mean I'm saying though that it's right within reach, and I think the next, you know, you out of the next six, you go 4-2, it's right there. If you can go 5-1, it's damn near a lock at that point to be seeded that way and to up into the tournament, I would think.
Oof, we can go 4-0 over the next four. Cause
I was lumping in.
Tennessee is very, very good at basketball. Tennessee is a very good team. I do like the way our team matches up against Tennessee better than I do like Auburn. Because I think our strengths and their weaknesses, I think our strengths mitigate their weaknesses a little bit on the defensive side. And that if we could go into Knoxville and win, that is a complete game changer. But really the starting to show that we can consistently execute and the things that we need to execute is going to be important at home against two very good opponents. Next week is going to be a good one.
Absolutely.
I love basketball. The whole,
too.
I mean, all of day yesterday, there was just game after game after game until them Aggies.
You're damn right there, Wes. Let's go. Yeah. What a great day. First, you know, TCU Horned Frogs, great win. Mm-hmm. Great win for them at home, you know, big time. Kentucky wins, Utah State win. Perfect day, really, if you really think about it.
And it's like every other day at this point that we just get banger after banger.
God, it's the best time of the year.
I like that Jackson had a great game this game as a momentum and a confidence booster going into this stretch we have coming up. Because if we get this Jackson Robinson going forward, that's something that we haven't had all season of just a dominant Jackson. So if we're able to get that, well, yeah. He's not out of the SEC Player of the Year race.
He wants this so bad for Kentucky and for Blue. Like, support the kid, man. He wants this so bad. He loves being here. What a great kid. Like, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't have scripted that better for him. Like, that perfect. Couldn't have been better.
It's also perfect for film room, opponent film room going forward because – obviously, Mississippi State locked in on Kobe Brea.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job.
But now, can they lock in on Kobe Brea when you have Jackson Brea on the other side?
Jackson Brea is nuts. Yeah, no, it helps the basis for sure.
It's kind of another example of what we've said all season long, where it could be anyone, any night. Last night we had everybody but Brea, Garrison, and Perry was in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. So who do you defend?
Right.
You sell out to take away Brea, and you have six other guys go off for double figures.
His
that's
shot
just the way it works.
It's so pretty. That's what I couldn't get over it last, like, because he took a lot more shots yesterday, obviously, because he was flying high. But it's so pretty. It's just like everything looks like it should be in a commercial for shots. It's just his release is so quick. He gets his entire body straight up. It's just beautiful. Everything about it.
Jackson's shot you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a dog sneeze. You ever heard about that before? When a dog sneezes? It's the sound it makes when it hits the net every time?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's cash. When his shot's going, dude, it's one of the prettiest things in basketball. I love watching Jackson play because it flows so well. No wasted movement. He just seems to – yesterday he was in the zone for sure. It was awesome to see.
Also, he took a long range too. That was beautiful as well.
He's Kawhi. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like the worst comp of all time. It's not that it's insulting. It's just bad. Like, it's not accurate at all.
This is Colin Chandler erasure.
Yeah, the White Claw is what we're really talking about here.
The White Claw.
The Mormon White Claw.
And I will say we're due. We are due for another Ortega Owe big game.
Yeah.
Where he just goes off again.
He had one drive to the basket from the corner that was stupid good. That was a very go get a bucket, whatever type of move that he made there. And he kind of just took on the entire – when that's the entire offense, that's when we struggle. But when they have to respect that still and we're running our offense as we want to run our offense, it's just like – it's very fun to watch Ortega Owe play in that role, the bucket getter role or whatever, because it was a very athletic. I mean, the freak athleticism comes out. And
yeah, he had that baseline drive, and then there was one in transition where they just left the lane wide open.
Mm-hmm.
He just takes it all the way in.
Oh, yeah.
Catch him sleeping. But do we want to pick a MVP or player of the game for Texas A&M? Want to do a little guess the spread?
Guess the spread, like what Vegas will put out?
Yeah. I'm thinking Cats 3.5.
Yeah.
Cats 5.5, because they'll get 3 for being at home. I'd probably put it at a pick 'em at neutral, so probably 5.5 is what I'd go with.
I think I'll go between you guys. 4.5. Somewhere in there.
Depends on the, sitting on the fence.
And I'm thinking keep the hot streak up with Jackson. Give me Jackson for the next game MVP. Let's keep it rolling.
Do I have to pick somebody different, or can I also pick Jackson?
You can pick whatever you want, man.
Well, I just want to get included on the flashback.
We picked Mark Pope in the past.
Yeah, but I'm saying you didn't pick Mark Pope, and then I also picked Mark Pope. It's more of the copying you that you know, Jackson, and Cats win by 10.
I'll go Lamont Butler. I think regardless of whether Wade Taylor plays or not, last night Jerick Phelps was 9 for 29, so he's their sucker in Wade Taylor's absence. So I think whoever can lock down either one of those guys is shooting a million shots is going to be our MVP. And I'll say 7-point win. Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm going 5-point win. And Andrew Carr. And yeah. Unless he doesn't play, I guess that is a possibility.
Yeah, but they were saying that he wasn't even sitting down during the during the timeout.
Yeah.
Of the huddles.
Warrior, man.
He gets right.
Absolute warrior.
Yeah.
We're in need
of him. But I do think that Jackson's going to have another. I think that it was a get your confidence back type of game. And I think that he'll cling to having had that game. He had the game he wanted to have too. You know, it's like he played I think that he was the MVP for Gonzaga, but he had to play a role that he didn't even want to play. So it's like he got to play the game that he wanted to play and kill it. And that's a boost, I think, going forward, especially at home. It's going to be popping. But still give me Andrew Carr. I think it's very – oh, I don't know. I just think we're due.
Yeah.
I like the Jackson's post-game interview because he's such – you can tell he's just such a nice guy, such a great guy. And it drives me crazy when people say bad stuff about him because it's like he's a great guy. And he plays for Kentucky. And you're supposed to be a Kentucky fan. And you're trashing this kid.
And it's not necessarily just trashing the basketball stuff either, just to interject a tiny bit. It's like keep it – like, I don't know. There's a difference between, like, insults and, like, talking about his game. There's definitely a difference. But, yeah, anyways, carry on. Sorry. I just
and
don't understand dogging a player.
Yeah, is that he plays for Kentucky. And if we're not going to stick up for our guy, who else will? So I am imploring Kentucky fans to stick up for your own team because other people will gladly trash them for you.
Yeah.
Or that applies to anybody. I mean, people said point guard play was terrible. What did Lamont have? Lamont had double figures in 8 assists. Yeah, yeah. 10 points, 8 assists. 4 for 12, not his best, but certainly not trash point guard play.
Not at all.
Owe, people were saying Owe had a terrible game. 15-8. It's just I'm not going to talk bad about our players. I don't enjoy it. I don't know why anybody does.
Yeah, Cameron Matthews had a career game. That's why it was close.
He looked good.
Yeah.
Like his game. Well, fellas, any closing thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Nothing.
Not everybody
for
at
me.
Once.
Yeah,
all right. Brayden, I know you wanted to circle back on the Gaza talk. Did you?
Is that what I said? I couldn't remember about what I said in that little segment. It was, hearing your own voice is a little weird sometimes, you know. So I didn't recognize it at first as my own, but don't know anything about that. I do know that the Aggies are 16-1, and definitely kept me up all night, you know, like they do. So other than that, no, go Cats, go Aggies. I swear to God, one of the best sports days of my life yesterday. Regular season, of course.
Well, with that, at the end of Braden's Aggie Corner, for Ben, for Braden, for Kale, and for Jared, thank you for joining the Catechin, and go Cats.
Go Cats.
Okay. Go Cats.